Can we stand up and pick our Bibles and let's continue from where we stopped last Sunday? John chapter 20 is where we pick our bearing from. Jesus had appeared to the disciples. Amen. Verse 24 and verse 25. But Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated as we continue with our sermon topic we started last week, titled The Evidence of Crucifixion. The Evidence of Crucifixion. The evidence. I stressed it last week, last Sunday, that Thomas was not committing sin. That Thomas was not exercising faithlessness. Thomas wanted to see a reason to believe that that is Jesus, so that he will know how to relate with him. Because the same Bible tells us that same Jesus taught them, the disciples, that they should beware of false prophets. So we have to watch. He told them to watch. And we are looking at the evidence of crucifixion. And let me quickly add for emphasis that the reason why this message is necessary and important is because this age that we are in, the Church of Jesus Christ has been so invaded by the enemy, by tares, false preachers, so much until a proper picture of the Christian faith is missing in the church today. A proper picture of the Christian faith is missing. And it's our responsibility through the message of the hour. That is what God sent the minister of William Branham to do. It pains some of us when we look at what is going on in Christianity today and see that it is a wrong picture that has been given. Satan has invaded the church. Church, I'm going to say something, and it's going to help you. I'm telling you, it will help you. It has helped me. It will help you too. And what I'm saying is the truth. But one fact is this. Whether you accept it or not, if you are a true seed, you must experience what I want to tell you now. When you don't invite it. You must follow it. It must come to you. We are talking about the cross. So it's better you listen so that you will know how to receive it when your turn comes. So that you know how to receive it. So you'll be in crisis. You'll be confused. You won't backslide. The devil will use it against you and disturb your faith. Now, it is presented, Christianity is presented one-sided about the benefit of Calvary, where there is healing. And some people specialize their ministries in healing and deliverance. And it is scriptural. If you go to a synagogue, all they teach you is deliverance. All they rush there is deliverance. Did you hear him talk about water baptism? Did you see him ministering baptism of the Holy Ghost? Amen. I told you I would say some things. I understand that somebody called one of those, the chat on a particular site about this message, called a sister here during the vigil. I was abusing her. No wonder all of you talk the same way like that man. When they were hearing me during the vigil, making some statements, that I say I will sue Dr. Lukoya. Now, that young man is saying, why will you talk like that about, you know, such dignitaries? It's a big man. I will talk. He is a big man before you, not before God. And God is no respecter of persons. And the pride of Jesus Christ respects you only because of your attitude towards truth. Satan has invaded Christianity, and also half-baked preachers are in the ministry. I say you are half-baked if you don't have the totality of the word. You are half-baked if you know nothing other than healing and deliverance. You are half-baked if you know nothing other than the preacher of prosperity. You are half-baked. Because I say half because there is deliverance in the Bible. There is prosperity in the Bible. But you must be, it's a total package. There are other things that you need to know in the Bible. That is what God brought the entire message to achieve. Church, listen, it is important. This is where many of us miss it. Things that pertain to salvation, everything in the Bible that pertain to salvation, that only the elect should know, they are written there and hidden in symbols. Unless God gives you the revelation, you will never understand. Now, listen, the Bible, for instance, tells us, let's read 1 John chapter 5. Before 1 John chapter 5, you know that in John chapter, is it chapter 19? You know that when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, the Bible says, I want you to catch this. Please listen very carefully. All of you online members. Now, listen. Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross on Calvary. And of all places, a soldier took a spear and pierced his side. And two things came out. Water, what? Water and blood. Then, Apostle John, in 1 John, chapter 5, let's open it. First John, chapter 5, verse 6. It says, concerning Jesus, he said, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Then he emphasized, not by water only, but by water and blood. Then he added, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now listen, church. Why was it his side that was pierced? Why was it blood and water that came out? Two or three reasons. Number one, it was signifying the birth of a new life. He is referred to as the last Adam. If Adam did not fall in the Garden of Eden, there would have been no need for Jesus. Jesus is the beginning of God's creation. The Bible calls so. Hallelujah. He is the beginning of God's creation, the first begotten from the dead. Now, Adam was the beginning also of God's creation of man. So, that is why the first creation died, was corrupted,
So another Adam has to come and start a second creation. That is why you must be born again. Now, the first Adam was given a wife to reproduce himself. Where was he taken from? Where was the wife taken from? He was put to sleep while he was asleep from his side. Something was taken out that molded and produced his wife. The bride of Jesus Christ has to be produced in the same way. That is why Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, had to be put to sleep also. On the cross of Calvary, he died. From his side, his wife was produced. The church. So that he can reproduce himself again. That is number one reason. Hallelujah. You and I had to be brought forth. When a child is to be born by a woman, what is the first thing that comes out? Water. After that, what? Blood. Then the life will follow. That is what was demonstrated. If he didn't die, I would not have been produced. When water and blood came out, I followed. I don't know who else followed. Every born again predestinated elect of God, we came out. Praise the Lord. Now listen also. It's more than that. That is why when Apostle John was saying he didn't come by water only, but by water and blood. First and foremost, he's trying to emphasize to you that he came like any other normal human being. We were all born by water and blood. The same process that you and I were born, that is how Jesus Christ was born. But more importantly also, not only water. I want to talk to my denominational people. The water side, there is the water side of the gospel and there is the blood side of the gospel. Water is abundant life that flows from the cross on Calvary. Healing, deliverance, prosperity, breakthrough. Yes. You know, overcoming power. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That is the water. And that is what all of them are preaching. That is what Oyakhilome is preaching. That is what Oyedepo is preaching. That is what Olukoya is preaching. Ashimolo. That is what all of them are preaching, including Lazarus Moka. All of them, everybody, that is why we are preaching. And they are not wrong. What they are preaching is scriptural, but it is half-baked meal for a Christian faith. What of the blood? What of the blood? Water signifies what you will enjoy. Blood signifies what you will go through to be able to enjoy it. Praise the Lord. And church, listen, we make a big mistake. Christian world, listen to me. We have our example. We use our GO as our standard. Our GO cannot be our standard. Go to Philippians chapter 3 and see our standard there. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19. This is what Apostle Paul said. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example." He said, mark everyone that says he's a preacher. Mark all of them. And use the apostles as the standard to watch them. William Branham, amen. Listen, William Branham told us, he said, all the seven star messengers, everybody agree scripturally that the first star messenger to the Gentile church ages, the first church age, the official church age, that it is Apostle Paul. So he said, all other star messengers, that the basis for their qualification, the standard that was used to pick them up, was in that age, the one that was the closest to Apostle Paul. So, William Bryan himself had to be accepted by the gospel of Apostle Paul. So, that is why, amen, along the years, these things die. And all these worldly carnal preachers, they took over the church. God in this age had to come back again with a ministry to bring us back to the plumb line. Back to the Urim Tumim. Back to the apostolic faith. To go back again and go back to the apostles and have them for our example. When he said as a law that we should not remove the ancient landmarks. That you should not remove it. Why? In a journey that you go, there are people that will be coming behind you. Those are the marks that we use to know they are traveling on the right path. It's a law. Apostle Paul said, the faith, he said, we are built upon the foundation of the apostle. And he warned, no one should lay any other foundation other than that which has been laid. The certainty of the scripture. That's why he said, if any man preaches any other gospel, contrary to what we have preached, let that person be accursed. So we have the apostles. I want to say something here. Listen. No, I want to make a statement. But I want you to understand me. Because when you make any negative statement, seemingly negative statement, concerning the ministry of William Branham, they are ready to kill you. The followers of the ministry of William Branham. Now, William Branham is not my standard for Christianity. Do you understand? But William Branham came to point me to the standard. And he himself, he said that is his own standard. So William Branham brought me to where I should pick my standard from. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Now, Apostle Paul has, and the apostles, they have us. I mean, we have them as our example. And he continued in the next verse. Amen. Verse 18. He said, for many, and I have just mentioned their names, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, Apostle Paul was weeping, that they are the enemies. He said, for many walk, the way they walk, the way they live their Christian life. He said, he has told them before, weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How do you identify them? He said, whose end is destruction? Whose God is who? Their what? Their belly. And whose glory is in their shame? What do they do? Who mind earthly things? They mind earthly things. Earthly things. I am exposing them so that you will know them. Apostle Paul is our example. Praise the Lord. And it is our example. Galatians chapter 6. When we read scripture, Galatians chapter 6. This is the way Apostle Paul said it. Verse 17. He said, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul had in his body the marks of Jesus. Follow me. Let me be your example. If Apostle Paul says so, that he has the mark. So if he jam Thomas, Thomas is going to ask him, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? He said, Jesus Christ said, if you will follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Paul, are you a follower of Jesus? Say, let me see the mark. Let me see the mark. Everyone, see, there are two marks I said last week that every human being will follow, particularly the Christians. All of us that are going to church, there are two marks standing before us. The mark of Christ or the mark of the Antichrist. You must take one. Oh, that one is certain. Ask your neighbor, which one do you have now? Tell your neighbor. Galatians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. You can only have the marks of Christ if you too, you have been crucified. Verse 20, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Hey, please be very sincere with yourself. If you are crucified, say it together with me. I am crucified with Christ. Shut up. You're not talking, just follow the talk. Wait till they talk. You don't think before you talk. Think very well. You don't think, finish. Now, say it. I am crucified with Christ. No, I'm not saying by commandment. I mean, if you have been crucified, say it with me. It's very easy to say I'm crucified with Christ. On Tuesday, I was talking here that you must, water baptism is dying. Now some people enter, they don't die, they come out. And I said, tell your neighbor you must die. They refuse. I said, tell your neighbor you must die. You must die. And so I said, how can pastor be talking like that? No, you will not die. You will not die. Because you didn't understand me. You must die. Jesus Christ was crucified and he died. Why will your own crucifixion not kill you? So you say, I am crucified. It means you are dead. So ask your neighbor, are you dead? I read that again, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. That is the joy. That is the mystery. You see? So this crucifixion makes you to die one side, but alive the other side. And that's the mystery. You are both dead and alive. You are dead to the world, dead to sin, but alive unto righteousness. Praise the Lord. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. And when I say crucifixion, if you are going to be crucified, I said there are two crucifixions. The old man to be crucified for the new man to come up. The second crucifixion is that new man will also face some other form of crucifixion. And all of them have marks to show that you have truly been crucified. And we dealt with the crucifixion of the old man last week. Try to get the tape and listen to it, those of you who are not here. Now today we'll look at the new man, the crucifixion of the new man. Amen. When the new man, now that you are in Christ, you are a new creature. That is the scripture we ended last week. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Amen. Yet, In verse 31, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul still says, I die daily. I die daily.
Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 9, let's read it. Verse 23. This is the way the Lord put it to his disciples. And this scripture, you cannot, they don't read this in prosperity churches.
And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
These are scriptures you read and you should ask, what does Jesus mean here?
When he said pick up your cross and follow me, some people are taking this crucifix and hanging it in their car or hanging it in their neck. So anywhere they go, they will know I'm a Christian. That is not what he means there.
It's not even when you hang it on your cross or you on the church or put it somewhere in your the altar. That is, you are carrying your cross and following me. That's not the meaning. That is how carnal people interpret the word of God.
When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, you see, let us pray, our Lord's prayer. It's time for prayer meeting. Stand up, let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They recite it and they end it with the sign of the cross. Because he said, pick your cross and follow me. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. Our prayer meeting is over.
That's not the meaning. When he said, pick up your cross and follow me, the only way you will understand the cross is to look at his own cross. How was his own cross? First and foremost, it was not Jesus Christ that went and cut a piece of wood and began to carry it and tell everybody, say, follow me, let's go to Golgotha. The cross came to him. So pick up your cross. It means be ready to suffer. Be ready to suffer. That is the blood side of that gospel that came out from his side. Yes. That blood also sealed the covenant between God and man. But that blood also is a symbol of the sufferings you will go through for taking the stand to walk with Jesus.
I read on, verse 24.
He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What does he mean by that? If you are going to, because of suffering, you save your life, you are not ready to die for the gospel's sake, so that you can live. He said, you will lose that life. Later, you will lose it. But if you lose it now, you will gain it later. That is the example of the three Hebrew children. Meshach, and Abednego. They told them, if you don't bow, you will burn. But it's a lie of Satan. Your feelings, your friends, your neighbors, everything around you is speaking to you. If you don't compromise, if you don't relax this your fanaticism, if you don't, you know, do something, you go die for nothing for here, or you go suffer. Oh. And if you look at it, the fire was there. The fire was real. And to confirm that fire was real, those who carried them to come near the fire, how many of them, they died just to let you know that the fire was real.
And yet these Hebrew children, under the covenant sealed with the blood of an animal, they still had a relationship with God enough to believe him unto death. They told the king, who had the ability to speak them out of existence. They told him, we won't even think over it. If our God will not save us, we will not bow. How can you tell an Israelite to bow to an image? How can you tell a true Christian to compromise his faith for what he will eat? For fear of death. Apostle Paul said it. He gave all this, you know, put all this into consideration. And he had to tell the devil, you want to kill me? He said, for me to live, if I will live, is Christ. But if you kill me, I don't have anything to lose. It is gain. I want to challenge our faith. You know, I'm not talking to you, only I'm talking to myself too. Amen. Because I'm a human being like you. I didn't fall from, they not even born me for church. So we have to listen. It is for all of us. We have Apostle Paul for our example. He says, pick up your cross and follow me. If you will save your life, you will lose it. But if you can lose your life, you will gain it. He told them, don't be afraid of one that can kill your flesh, but cannot kill your soul. But rather, fear he who can both kill your body, your flesh, and your soul. He alone has the power. Fear him. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused until they were ready to jump into the fire. In fact, they jumped, they are ready to die. Did they die? Did they die? They saved it. That is the meaning of that story. That is the implication of that story. To give you boldness. It's a lie. All these things that are scaring you with, that's giving you sleepless night if you don't achieve. It's a lie. We came to this world with nothing. And we're going back certainly with nothing. Anything you acquire here, you are leaving it behind. And you don't know who will take care of you, handle it after you are gone. Now, I'm not speaking against prosperity. So I am trying to make balanced things for you. When God created man, he also had the picture of balance, so he didn't give him only one leg. That's why he gave you two legs. He didn't give one hand, two hands. He didn't give even one big nose, one hole. He gave you two nostrils. He didn't give you one eye. He didn't give you one ear. There's a reason for it. It is only one thing in the body that he gave only one. That is your manhood. Because you need only one for only one person. Your wife. Praise the Lord. So that you will balance. When he was going to give us the Bible, he gave us the Old Testament and the New Testament so that we balance it. We will balance our faith also so that you'll be complete, wanting nothing. That's how the Bible puts it. You lack nothing. When it comes to Apostle Paul, they said he knows how to abound prosperity and he knows how to abase. He knows how to handle poverty and he knows how to handle prosperity. So you cannot use prosperity and keep him away from God. Neither can you use poverty and keep him away from God. He knows to be content in everything he has. If he plenty, he will enjoy him. If he not there, he will see the management he gets. But his focus is in heaven. And we have him for our example. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In another scripture, he mentioned, he said, but there shall be them that shall be first, that shall be the last. He said there be some that are first, that shall be the last. In making that narration, what he's saying is that it is not he that run it. Eh? It's not he that will it, nor he that run it, but who? The God that showeth mercy. Then he made mention of another scripture where he said that when a man wants to build a house, before he starts building, what does he do? He said, you first count the cost before you start. If not, when you start, wah, 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 you soon discover that you did not have enough resources to finish it. And people will begin to laugh at you. Now, but this is where they make noise. They say, before so time, you will have the best building here. See, the building don't hang. Even some part don't they collapse. I'm paraphrasing what Jesus Christ meant. And he was not talking about architects. He's talking about people who have made up their mind that they want to follow Jesus. One man met Jesus. Jesus, I will follow you. Anyway, God, follow you. Hey, Jesus, turn and look at him. He said, foxes have holes. Birds have nests. Foxes, they have holes. He said, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, oh. Will you still follow me? I don't know what in that man reply again. But I said, the man find his way, come out. Praise the Lord. So before you begin to say, I will follow this Jesus, no turning back. Wait first. Go and count the cost. There is a cost of following him. So he said, there are many that don't follow. Hey, Jesus, Jesus, how I love you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. They run. They run, they don't go. Run, they don't go. They are the first. But after some time, when afflictions begin to arise, for the word's sake, Mark chapter 4 says so, then you will know who they are. Uh-huh. Pia, 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 they don't go. They are the ones scattering town. The day they gave their life to Christ, nobody rests again. Everybody in their village are devil. In their home, all their papa are unbeliever. Devil, you are serpent seed. Every day in the morning, nobody they sleep for that area. Okay. You don't know that faith will be challenged. And after some time, those same people that used to go to Bia Palo and tell all of you, we die, you don't repent, you will die. Holy Ghost fire on beer sellers. After some time, you don't hear him again. What will happen? The first shall be the last. So I'm talking to somebody here. Before you go and say, I'm a Christian, this is the cost. That's why I preach a message, I title, I say, salvation is not free. Salvation is not free. I preach another message, I title, counting the cost. Count the cost first. If not, you'll be very disappointed. You thought it is very easy. But until you enter inside, because you say, now hot water where they boil, you chop, enter inside. You'll be looking for a way to come out. But I'm saying this to encourage those of us who have truly made up our mind that the decision you have made, you have not made a mistake. Because I have Bible to prove it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When he said, deny yourself. Deny yourself. Amen. To deny yourself there is looking at the law of opportunity cost. In economics, opportunity cost. Two things stand before you. They are all very wonderful to you. But there is a law. For you to have one, you have to lose the other. You cannot have the two together. The value of the one you will hold on to, the cost is that which you have lost to be able to have it. That is the law of opportunity cost. You have the world before you. But you also have a promise of eternal life. A place where Apostle Paul say, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, mouth cannot describe what God has prepared for them that love his appearing. You see? Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. My father said, there are many mansions there. So, you want to go to heaven. But there are things to also enjoy on earth here. And these two things stand before us. And the law is, you cannot have the two together. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. He even said, the two of them, they don't even like themselves. There is no agreement between the world and heaven. He said, God said, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. So you have to choose now. Now, see the cost. If you choose the world, you have become automatic enemy of God. And you will lose heaven. But if you are going to choose heaven, then you must lose the earth. You must lose the world. Fashion, dead to it. All the wuru-wuru they do to make money, even though you know it better than them, you cannot be involved anymore. You cannot do your boyfriend, girlfriend like they do in the world. You cannot act like the unbelievers. That is the cost. So when you see my wife not wearing trousers, for instance, when we were unbelievers, she was wearing trousers. And like I said before, don't think maybe because you think she's fat. Trousers get size by size. There's trousers for fat people. When you see my wife not wearing jewelry, don't think that we cannot afford it. When you see my wife not doing all that nonsense women do to their hair, or wearing a ring, it's not poverty. It is a decision we made that costs us that thing. And they are deceiving you. You are listening to me now. That you can go to heaven holding on to the world is a lie. They are deceiving you. They are deceiving you. It's not the gospel according to godliness.